When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We would love to give every one of our fans a night to remember.
It's coming home, it's coming home.
The World Cup.
It's coming home, it's coming home, it's coming.
There he goes.
It's coming.
That's a winning shot.
It's coming home, it's coming home, it's coming home. It's coming home, it's coming.
We've seen England before, pushing once, what a bore. But one day Strauss, he shared his big dream to create a new team with attack as a theme. And now we're singing three lines and a frown. Captain Morgan's England, never will lay down. Don't stop believing. Now Johnny and Jay Roy start the fun with Root and Just to come. Boundaries flow, watch them go. And then they're followed by Stokes, Woody, Willie and Woz, Rush and Plunkett and Mo. And they're all singing three lines out.
I don't know if you've heard. It's coming home.
It's coming home?
Cricket's coming home.
It's coming home.
Cricket's coming home. It's coming home.
Welcome to the Shackles Are Off podcast and defending world champions of both White Ball World Cup. Sounds about as good as it gets, really, I think, for an England cricket fan, or indeed any sports fan around the world. It doesn't really get a lot better than that, does it? Unless than a week away from the Football World Cup starting, which, to be honest with you, I couldn't really care less about now. It's all about the cricket here on the Shackles Are Off podcast, isn't it? Chris Millard, as a Barmy Army member or cricket fan, I suppose it doesn't really get any better at all, does it?
No, it really doesn't. I mean, we won the World Cup in 2019. That was a very special occasion. We've had so many people on this podcast talk about both playing but also supporting that day. It doesn't really get better than winning a World Cup in your own country, but secondary to that is winning a World Cup in Australia, especially when you're not even playing the Aussies in the final. It was a very special occasion. I must admit, I was sat at home watching, thinking, what am I doing? What am I doing out there on tour with the rest of the team that were over there? And it was amazing to see them having such a great time and celebrating what has got to be. I think we've got to take our hats off to the white ball strategy for the last 7 years, 8 years. I mean, there's been a clear and obvious strategy to nail white ball cricket, win the World Cup in the ODI format was the original strategy. And Joss continuing that legacy for Morgs is just brilliant, an absolute testament to having a great objective and a good strategy behind it. And they've delivered that. I think not many people can say, if any, can say they've held both cups at the same time. So it's, unbelievably proud to be an England cricket fan at the minute.
Yeah, absolutely unreal. I mean, if you look at the fact that the game was a complete joke, it was just an amazing match. A little bit tense, a little bit kind of tetchy. The pitch wasn't amazing. It was actually a pretty crap pitch, wasn't it, for a final? But
very cool.
If you just run through the fact that the England team, right, you've got Joss Butler, brilliant captain's performance. I thought everything he did in the field was absolutely unreal. Adil Rashid, magnificent again. Chris Jordan, fantastic. Sam Curran ended with 13 wickets in the entire tournament. That eclipses anybody in a T20 World Cup previously for England by 3, beating David Willey, Ryan Sidebottom. So 13 wickets overall, but then 3 for 12 of 4 overs. And all right, I know the pitch was a dodgy one for a final, but Christ, who saw that coming? Because everybody prior to the tournament really was saying Sam Curran, not sure, don't know, really, don't really see where he gets a game. Well, he completely blew that one out of the water, didn't he? Ben Stokes, amazing. We'll talk a bit more about Stokes in a sec. But I actually think the England side is going to get better. And I know it's an easy thing to say that. And we said that after the 2019 World Cup, didn't we? And all the players who could come in and the ifs, buts and maybes and the fact that we won 2019 without Alex Hales, who was fantastic in this T20 World Cup. But you look at Topley, Wood, Archer, barely used Livingston. Milan had an injury. Harry Brook in there. He's going to be better for the experience than having a medal round his neck. Sam Curran as well. I mean, you forget this kid is so young, and yet he's already so experienced. You know, going forward, he's going to be like a senior statesman for like the next 2 or 3 T20 World Cups. Bairstow missing. I mean, just think how easy it would have been if all these guys were all fit, or would it? Who knows? You know, you've got this kind of like weird conundrum. Would the team have been better, or is it just that the stars align and the 11 just all clicks? It's such a strange conundrum now that Joss Butler's got going forward. But actually, if anybody's going to kind of carry this team forward in an Owen Morgan statesman-like, respected way, it is Joss Butler, isn't it? It was absolutely electric. Like, I'm so excited about it. You can probably tell. But it's absolutely fantastic. All the way through, I just thought that the whole team was actually, you know, there was a couple of little dicey bits, but when they came under the pump in those must-win games, they all did their jobs brilliantly. And Sam Curran, I mean, fantastic. You know, from the bumpers that he was bowling against Afghanistan that got a few tongues wagging to that brilliant performance in the final. Just brilliant. But Chris, I know that we could almost do a separate podcast on the fact that Ben Stokes just proves himself time and time again to be the GOAT of English cricket. But he actually is, though, isn't he? I want to hear you, because you're such a big admirer of Ben Stokes, aren't you? And he was just, how good is he as a sports person?
First of all, Greggy, do you need to breathe? That was
kind of me just saying over to you for 5 minutes.
That was a very emotional 5 minutes on the England cricket team about the prowess and depth that we have in that team now. I think one of the most amazing testaments to the strategy and to what they've built with this recent influx of players is how strong the fringe players were. I mean, going out to Pakistan and winning the way they did when they played that series was incredible, and knowing that that wasn't even our full-strength team, and a lot of them lads didn't even make the World Cup squad. And you've got the team that were over there and the players that came in as backup to replace them coming in and looking like absolute season pros. You'd probably argue Sam Curran was a fringe player for the T20 team coming into this. Alex Hales obviously not been in for a long time. Harry Brook, new up and coming. They were absolute staples of the team for the whole tournament, and they really earned the shirt and did well. But I think you went back to Stokesy. Someone mentioned it to me the other day. Do you think we can bring him out of retirement for the ODI World Cup? I mean, the man loves a big stage, and you've got to love players like that in any walk of life or sport, or in just in life in general. People that show up when other people shy away. and set themselves from the rest is what makes him one of England's greatest ever cricketers, if not the greatest. He has just never failed to let us down when it matters. And let's not forget, he's done it in three formats now. When our backs have been against the wall, when we're about to lose on the biggest stage in the World Cup final, wickets falling all around him, he goes and drags us through it to a super over. In the Ashes, odds are against us. He somehow waves his magic ginger beard and his hasty arms go after that ball and just turns into this unbelievable hero. I mean, he did it in the Ashes. He also won us the game in Cape Town, you could argue, pretty much handily on that Test series. He did incredibly well. And then first ever international T20 50 World Cup final. He's been around a long time. He's not scored a 50 yet. Saved it for the final. What a ledge. What a ledge. I'm just, look, people that have watched the documentary, and he has had a career in the public eye. He's got a very, I guess, a topsy-turvy career with the press, and there's been a lot towards him around that time, and a lot of people within the hierarchies of cricket leadership that were against him for a certain period of time, and he's just proven how much of a gem in our crown jewels he is. What a bloke. So proud for him and so happy for him and his family to have another moment like this.
Yeah, absolutely. Hear, hear. And I don't think it's out of the realms of possibility. I know we like to do this quite a lot, you know, Sir Jack Leach or Sir Gary Pratt, but Sir Ben Stokes, I mean, come on.
Mate, you know? We flew an aeroplane over Edgbaston in 2019.
Before
his heroics of the Ashes had even arose, saying, we got to knight the bloke. We hired a plane from Blackpool to do that. We were asking for him to be knighted just after his first World Cup heroics. Now, bloody hell, make him a lord. Mind a knighthood.
I did a little tweet saying Lord Stokes of Cumbria. Yeah, and I think actually it's got a nice little ring to it. So there we have our little claim for Ben Stokes. I mean, it's not just our claim. It's quite popular thought, the fact that Ben Stokes should probably be knighted. And we talked all about lauded straight to the House of Lords. Bang. Not sure how the protocol works on that, but sod it. He was honestly amazing. And it's not just about Ben Stokes. It's all the lads. It's your Chris Wokes as well. And just brilliant, absolutely brilliant. You can tell that I think Chris and I are both pretty excited about the whole thing, as I'm sure that you are as well. Now, I know that many of you probably listening were at Greenwood Sports Bar, and if not, you probably saw all our footage over social media from Sunday morning. Unbelievable. Producer Chuck, you were there, and actually, whilst we're on this, I saw you sort of getting on a bit of Sky Sports, and obviously as well as doing all the capturing all the footage, etc.
The worst, potentially questionable interview of all time.
Was it?
The Sky Sports bloke goes, What have you? So what have you got to say? It's what an amazing day, whatever he says. And then Chuck goes, well, I'm speechless. And he goes, well, you've said enough then. Don't worry about it. I'll do all your talking.
You're joking.
Absolutely hilarious.
I've lost my head.
Can we clip it in? Can we clip it into the pod?
Oh, mate.
It's off the TV records atmosphere cloud.
I don't think it is. I think we can find that. No problem. Unreal.
It was just one of those moments where your head's just gone, isn't it? It was fully gone. I was on the adrenaline of the win, and I didn't. And then suddenly there's a camera in my face. And that was it, and just went off on one and said I was speechless, even though I'd spoken for about 10 minutes about Ben Stokes. I've had better moments, but there we are.
There we have it. But that was an amazing moment though, right? So Chris and I have been to Greenwood before for the Ashes watch along overnight, etc. It's a really cool venue, but venue aside, what was that like? Because obviously it's a difficult one to plan, isn't it? I know, Chris, you were saying you gutted to not be there, but it's a difficult one unless you commit to being in Australia for the entire tournament. You don't have a real job. You've got lots of money. You love England cricket. There's not going to be many. And there was actually a surprising amount of England fans there and Barmy Army contingent as well. Obviously, we've got the expats, etc., who did an amazing job, and we've got some really cool footage as well on our social media if you've not seen it. But the closest thing that you can get to that is being in a bar with a load of like-minded folk, all sort of getting the third and fourth pints in off 9 in the morning. So, Chuck, how was it first? I mean, what an awesome place to be.
I mean, yeah, you just hit the nail on the head. It was the place to be, really, in the UK. I don't think I would have wanted to be anywhere else on Sunday morning. The pub just gradually exploded with atmosphere. It was slow to get going, and then beyond the run chase, it just really took off. And I've never seen a group of people celebrate just a run as much as that whole pub did in the run chase. And it was just so, I think people are going to forget, looking back at that final, how nerve-wracking it was for about an hour after Butler got out. And you don't really truly feel that unless you're in the ground or you're surrounded by 200 people in a pub. And that's what it was like. And it was absolutely incredible. And the trumpeter was there as well. So you still got all the formals to the England. And, you know, it was just incredible atmosphere. The closest I've ever felt to being in the ground and not being there. Big time.
Quality. Absolutely love it. And also, we did have a couple who shall remain nameless England players who we were hoping to get on the podcast, and we will speak to in the coming weeks, we promise. But as you can imagine, the last, 48 hours since that win had been a little bit bonkers. They've not been able to, or actually they've said, I can't speak at the moment, as in not that they don't want to speak, as in they physically can't because they're obviously enjoying themselves quite a lot. Chuck, you raised quite a good point just before we were, before we started recording. And I want your thoughts on this, Chris, as well, right? Because I'm pretty sure that we're all going to be in unanimous agreement, which is a very rare thing. But Chuck said to me, if you win a World Cup or have an amazing achievement, but in this case, winning the World Cup, you are the world champions. When do you stop celebrating? Like, how hard is it to stop celebrating? England had this game against Australia in the start of an ODI series on Thursday. So 4 days after, 3 days really, after you've won the World Cup, you've then got to dust yourself down, be professional, go again, reset, have all that kind of professional nous and clout about you. Impossible. It's probably why none of us are professional sports people.
But I think you raise a good point, though. It's not really, I think it's a scheduling issue. I think there's the underlying root cause of the frustration from the players is, what are they playing for? What are these three ODIs for in Australia? Mm. Is it token games for TV rights? What's the rationale behind the ODIs that are about to be played? I think that's more of the frustration. Like when you've just had a full World Cup, all your energy's been zapped. You've been to Pakistan just before that. Then you're told you've got to stay and play three ODIs. Okay, look, it's a privileged position to be in, and they've got to deliver a product, which cricket is. But where does it stop? Like you say, they've got to celebrate the success and enjoy the time. It's like when England won the 50-over World Cup. 2 weeks later, they're playing a bloody friendly against Ireland. Yeah. Tim Murta's bowling at them. It's like, how are they meant to get up for this and then play an Ashes straight after it? It's the problem with cricket scheduling and TV rights deals that isn't going to go away, is only going to evolve over time. Sorry for the outburst and blurting in, but there you go.
It's a good point, though, isn't it? And Chuck, to be fair, away from the seriousness of that, right, which is an amazing point, right? And I don't think anybody's really disputing that, because I think the players have grumbled about it a little bit in the press, haven't they? And I'm sure that actually the two players we'd have had on would have said exactly the same thing. But we also, on a more sort of like light-hearted kind of point to that, we also then came to the conclusion that it never really stops the celebration, does it? It doesn't, does it? I mean, if you look at the fact that you've got... you look at Matthew Hoggard, Steve Harmison, you have they won the Ashes 17 years ago, and you're constantly getting invited to functions, people buying you a beer when they meet you for the first time in your local. You go into reunion parties and little after dinner gigs and all that. You can celebrate it for, you know, as long as you want, really. So there is a little bit of that, but you do want to enjoy it in the here and now, and scheduling shouldn't be a reason why you stop. I completely agree. I don't think anybody
no, and right, they are in Australia, and they need to maximise the amount of game time they have over there, because let's be honest, our record in Australia against Australia isn't the best in any format. So hopefully we turn them over quite quickly over there in the three ODIs. And there is support. The Barmy supporters groups will be out in force for all the ODIs. Fun time Tony heading up the Australian supporters branch did a great job alongside Dave Peacock for the T20 World Cup. And I'm sure we'll be looking forward to the ODIs and singing the boys on. They don't get much cricket over there, so they're going to make the most of it when it happens, right?
Yeah, too right. Too right. Right. To round off the podcast, Chris and I feel a little bit apprehensive about this last bit. So Chuck says we've got a guest. We've got some questions to ask him. He's going to remain on mute, and we're not going to be able to see the guy's face. And then he's going to pop up, and you can kind of grill him, quiz him, and find out who the guest is. Right? Okay. I mean, I'm panicking a little bit about this because, I mean, you've given us some kind of tenuous feeder questions. What if we don't? What if me and Chris have asked 25 questions to this person, we still don't know who it is, and this person has pretty much given their life story, and we've got podcast listeners screaming at their car speakers or however they listen to the podcast? What happens, Chuck? What on earth goes on? My only nervousness with this is that this person has literally told us his life story, and I still don't know who it is.
No, okay. You don't need to worry about that. I'll give you a little clue now as well. It's not someone like, they're kind of famous for the sake of it. Like, they're not really famous, but like, you'll know who they are.
If it's someone shit, I'm going to walk off.
Someone shit. This is great. I knew that you would be totally against the spirit of this entire thing.
Didn't I say to you, Greg, before Chris came on?
Brilliant. I knew that he'd just hate you because he wants to know. And that's what I love about this entire thing so much. I love it. This is the only time I ever see Chris in this type of mood. And it's brilliant.
I don't like losing control.
Exactly, and I love it because I'm not in control either, but this is my natural state, whereas this isn't your natural state. I should just quickly interrupt the podcast here just to say that Chris and I didn't actually have to do all the guessing in the end, because our guest, who is Mohammed Sareem Akhtar, just popped onto the Zoom and his face popped up, so which really, really did help us. You may know this chap. You'll certainly know him by face. He's the double teapot looking very cross and forlorn Pakistani cricket fan who rose to prominence during the World Cup in England in 2019. He gets shared everywhere online. If you've got no idea who we're on about, type it in, Mohammed Sareem Akhtar. Instantly you'll go, okay, that's him. Anyway, just so you know who you're talking to, because I don't think at any stage during this conversation do we actually say his name, but he's a very, very nice chap and a good sport for coming on. Anyway, back to it.
Oh, wait. Hang on. No, he's there. It's Julian.
Hey there.
Hi, mate. How are we?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
Tremendous.
I'm very well.
You know who our mystery guest is?
Oh, wow. Looks like the whole Barmy army.
I've never seen you smile.
That comes naturally. The other one was out of character, perhaps.
How are you?
I'm well. Nice to meet you guys. So are you the three who are running the Twitter handle?
So Chris is in charge of all the madness in the Barmy army. Chuck is the one who probably inspires your fame a little bit more than anyone else, actually, if we're completely honest. But this is we've had something similar to this before, where we had the crying Aussie bloke. You may have seen him from the crowd, who was in tears when Ben Stokes hit the winning runs at Headingley in the Ashes. And that was the first time I've ever spoken to like a walking, talking meme. But now I actually am talking to a walking, talking meme, which is absolutely exceptional.
Yeah, so many variations came out over the World Cup, right throughout, whenever someone lost, and particularly when there was an upset.
How have you found Stardom?
Initially, it was a little strange and challenging because I wasn't, you can say, familiar. When people approached me while I was driving, or they would point towards me when I landed at the airport, or given promoted to a first class when I was about to collect my boarding pass. So I had to take all of that in my stride and get familiar with it. And then gradually it slowed down. Now, whenever I go across anywhere where there are probably, you can say, Indians, Pakistanis, or Bangladesh, Sri Lankan. In fact, no, I shouldn't say that, because I've been recognized in a bar when I was having a team get-together. A guy from US, he came across. He said, "You look familiar." I said, "No, I'm not." Then he said, no, for sure, I've seen you somewhere. Aren't you the meme? I said, "Yeah." So then he requested me for a selfie. So these kind of moments just come around the corner sometimes.
You seem like you take it in pretty good spirit, actually, which is, I suppose, I'm not convinced that if I was in your position, I'd be taking it in such amazing spirit. But actually, you've kind of got to laugh a bit, haven't you? Because it's a little bit, it's a bizarre thing to be recognized for.
No, in fact, you're right, absolutely. All the memes are, majority of the memes are born out of an awkward situation. Mine wasn't an awkward situation. So as soon as in my mind, when I crossed that hurdle that, okay, people are superimposing their faces or someone else's faces on my picture, or they are coming up with these two catchy lines over the memes. When I crossed that mental block, then I became familiar and I probably, you can say, embraced it. And this, I think, happened when I shared the first meme, when I received it. And that's when I broke the barrier. So I've been at ease ever since.
I love it. So what doesn't help your cause is obviously it on TV once, right? And there's loads of people shown on TV all the time, especially in cricket, where for 8 hours a day, there's stop starts, there's drinks, there's cameras panning around the stands. You see, you feast your eyes for a few seconds on people, and then that's it. You've forgotten their face. Yeah. What hasn't helped your cause here, Mohammed, is the fact that you've got the ICC.
Correct.
We're slightly to blame. Pakistan Cricket Board, I know, are quite fond of getting you involved in stuff as well.
So
that's probably...
ICC for continuing with this, because they have celebrated the 3 birthdays whenever and here. Because their tweet reminds me, it's 12th of June. And they celebrated.
Brilliant. You've also done a video, I believe, of you trying to motivate the Pakistan team as well. You were involved in that little social media campaign. I remember that flying around. So that's quite a nice moment. The fact you actually get to, you got to kind of motivate them in front of them rather than from, 60, 70 meters away.
Yeah, it was a strange time. COVID had just started, and I think after West Indies, Pakistan was traveling to England, and this was the only cricket going around at that time. So that's why I got a request from the cricket board in Pakistan to do some kind of a video, and I came with that catchy kind of a video.
Good man. What do you, in all seriousness, Mohammed, what's your advice for all the England travelling fans heading over to Pakistan for the test tour? Have you got any top tips for people to get out to Pakistan and enjoy? Any advice to share with them?
Oh, yeah, definitely, man. The security situation has changed drastically over the last couple of years. and they should pack their backpack. Anyone who's fond of hiking, looking at hills and valleys, snow covered mountains as well, any sports, any mountainous or you can say lake related sports, there are jump skis and everything over the northern areas. So welcome, man. This is a perfect opportunity because the England team, if they visit, if they do come across, they'll be welcomed like anything because it will be a first full-length tour by the English team after a long, long time. And then everyone whom the public associates it with, they'll be just celebrated and taken care of.
Brilliant. That's kind of what we've heard, that it's going to be a fantastic, thanks for the advice. It's going to be an amazing occasion for all the fans. And these two are actually going over, both Chuck and Chris are.
Fantastic. So, absolutely fantastic. Wow. Yeah,
I know. It's good, isn't it?
Mohammed,
and you know what?
Yeah, go ahead.
Are you going to be there, Mohammed?
I just came over from Pakistan in the last week of October, so no plans to travel back. Had this come across earlier, or just kind of in the same time zone as my kids when their schools are off, I would have definitely gone there.
Fantastic. And just quickly before we let you go, because I really appreciate you coming on. It was a big surprise to me and Chris, this, by the way. We had no idea who our mystery guest was, so this is good. I'm glad that we managed to ask you lots of questions. This is brilliant. Finally, I mean, just a word on Pakistan, because, look, we know that they sort of came a cropper in the final to what is obviously a very strong England team, but brilliant to get to the final. Great achievement. Obviously, we all know with T20, it can go either way, but that T20 series that we had just a couple of months back was incredibly exciting, wasn't it? That 7-match series. And then also just overall, you know, it seems like a really good bunch of lads as well, that the Pakistan team, very likable team and really not likable characters. And it must be really, you know, you must be really proud to support them.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You have highlighted a couple of key bits that are contributing to the Pakistan's team success. One is that there are no big egos remaining in the team now compared to the previous teams. So that helps them gel together. I think at superstar level is also less compared to the previous teams. So now there are no big winners who can just outright shine and give you a victory. But collectively, they are a very strong bunch. And this is a testament because they have reached semifinals in the World Cup. Then they were the finalists in the Asia Cup. And now are finalists in the World Cup. So the team is progressing very, very well in T20. They still need to work a little bit on the 50-over game as well as the test matches. But in terms of their likability with regards to the other teams, I've seen so many videos where they are gelling very, very well with the other teams, and they are getting respect as well. It goes both ways. You can be as polite as you want, but if you are not competitive enough, but I was torn in between both, whom to support. Obviously, my heart goes to Pakistan, but I'm living and in England, and so it was. I was celebrating Ben Stokes. What a player, man. Just name any, in the last 5 years, any key moments, either in a test match, one day, T20. He's the man. Wow, what an awesome player. And the mental toughness in these situations is tremendous.
Yeah, he is. I mean, we're so lucky to have him. We are so lucky to have him. It's fantastic. Hey, really good to talk to you. What a nice surprise that is, Mohammed. Thanks so much for coming on the podcast and being such a good sport.
You're welcome. Anytime. Alec,
can I just ask one thing before you go? Obviously, England beat Pakistan in the final. So could we maybe get you to reenact your famous pose?
Not anymore. I want to keep the original one intact.
Nothing beats the original. Hey, I like that.
Very shrewd, that. Very shrewd. Keep your prices high.
I like it. Exactly. Yeah, you're not a performing parrot. I like that. Yeah, good stuff. Awesome. Nice one, Mohammed. You're a top man. Hey, you've said You've said no to Chuck and he hates it and I love it. Thanks so much, Babby. Top man.
Thank you, man. Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me.
Chuck to do it and you judge it, Mohammed. Tell him how good it was.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, let's do that. Okay.
Out of 10, Mohammed, what do you reckon? Go on, Chuck. Give us a shit.
Go on, here we go. Oh, he's standing up for it as well. Okay. Right, come on.
That is woeful.
That was. I mean, I'm not sure about the little crouch, but the double teapot. I mean, you can't go too wrong, can you? Hey, it'd be good to bump into you at a test ground or something next summer. If you're at the cricket, be sure to drop us a message. All right. Because England are world champions, our partners at The Root Academy have got loads of offers on. Just head over to therootacademy.com to find out. Chris Millard, Black Friday as well. I'm sure that people need to keep their eyes peeled on both the Barmy Army website and also Root Academy website for Black Friday stuff. But
you had a go on the products before, just quickly, on the Root Academy products?
Yeah, I love the little ball feeder that just pops it up. And I love that. That's really good.
And the entry level, mate. That's entry level. We've got a few high levels of product as well, you know.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, look, the social media channel is amazing, actually. Root Academy Instagram. There's some like really cool videos and bits and pieces on there, isn't there? So head over there and then get onto the Root Academy website. So there you go. Loads of offers at the moment, like we say. And Chris, also just a quick one on the South Africa tour.
Yeah,
that is not too far away. That is going to sneak up on people really quick. And there's still packages and stuff for people, you know, if they fancy getting away, isn't there, to jump on?
I'll set the scene for you. It's end of January. You're freezing. You've just come down off the high of Christmas. You've not really got much to do. You've not got much on. Work's not busy because it's January and it's quiet for most people. Unless you work in the football transfer industry, then obviously the deadline day finishes then. But even then, after the World Cup, you'll be free. So you're cold, you're bored. England are playing in South Africa in two places we've not been too much, Bloemfontein and Kimberley. Why are you not there is the question. Oh, and a little Cape Town experience chucked in for a couple of days on the back end of it. Why are you not going should be the question, not should I be going. He said, why am I not going? And if you have a diary that's full from the end, halfway through Jan to the end of Jan, then fair play, stay at home. If you've not, then why are you not there? There's still availability. South Africa is one of the best places in the world to travel to. You got lovely food, you've got lovely wine, you've got lovely safaris, you've got amazing excursions to do. Why are you not there? See you in South Africa.
And the cricket won't be too bad either. They'll be brilliant.
Oh, and the cricket's happening as well, yeah. Maybe that'd be good as well. You like South Africa, don't you? You've been...
Mate, love it. Absolutely love it. Going to absolutely jump on the chance to get out there again ASAP, even potentially when there's no cricket happening as well. So, yes, echo those sentiments. So get onto the website, barmyarmy.com. Sports Social Podcast Network.